Sit down. That's okay. We're glad that you've made it. Maybe you're sitting in your pajamas already for this evening as well. That's all right, too. We're just glad that you've joined. And mainly, we ask that you would join with an attitude of seeking to worship God with us in this service this evening. We're going to open our service in prayer. It's an opportunity as well for you to calm your own heart and to lift your own mind as well in prayer to the Lord as we ask his blessing upon this gathering this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truth that we celebrate, the person that we celebrate, especially this weekend. Father, we thank you for this Easter Sunday, and we sing with joy from our hearts, he arose. Father, we look to you for this service. We thank you for the blessing, Lord, of this morning's service, and we ask, Lord, that hearts would be touched, each one of our hearts, Father, touched by your word, touched by your spirit, encouraged in our faith, or challenged, Father, about what we believe and what we're trusting in also. We ask, Lord, just that you'll help us to focus, Lord, that we know it's easy, Father, to be watching on a screen and to feel like a spectator, but Father, we ask that you would encourage and help us, Father, to be participants in worship of you. In this next hour, we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so last week, Claire and I were sitting watching the morning service, and it hadn't dawned on me at that point in time anyway, until the pastor picked up a guitar to start leading the worship, and I turned to Claire and said, "What am I going to do about worship next week?" And so I really appreciate it. The pastor this week has recorded a worship set for us, and so we're going to enjoy three songs. If you want to stand wherever you're watching right now, do that. Just engage your heart as we sing three songs here in worship of Christ. Thank you.
Well, welcome everyone to our time of worship. We trust that as we sing these songs that you'll sing along with us. And one of the things that we need as we come to sing praise to him, we need a thankful and a glad heart. And you can only be thankful for what the Lord has done. And we trust that he has done something in your heart over this Easter. The first song we're going to sing is Thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. What's wrong?
Okay. So it turns out not everything works perfectly all the time. Sorry about that. We didn't actually do that on purpose, Pastor, but it did give me a bit of a laugh there, too. We're working on that at the minute. But we will maybe just jump into some of the announcements anyway for this week ahead. And so obviously there's not too many, but this week is the 10th Sunday in our church calendar. The 10th Sunday, of course, is special giving to missionary projects and also to the support of our own folk. This 10th Sunday is for the support of our own missionaries in our church. And so any offerings given this week ahead will go towards the financial support of the missionaries of our own church here, just to make you aware of that. As well then, we're finding that a lot of our folks who don't have internet access, as we've been trying to be in touch with everyone to make them aware that there are discs that they can avail of on CD or DVD to find some way of keeping connected with the ministry of the church. That list is ever increasing, but we are still coming across those who haven't had any opportunity for the ministry of the church. If you know of someone, if you have a relative or if you have a friend from church who you know has no internet, would you be in touch? Connect us to them, and we'd love to be able to continue to provide the services of the church to encourage them. So please do be in touch. You'll find a contact number just on the church website. As well, we'd like to keep encouraging you. If you do have any needs, you want a pastoral conversation, you want to talk with one of us, for us to pray with you about a situation as well that you're facing, please do avail of that. And as always, we have a couple of teams who are helping in practical needs. And so if there is anything practical that you need a little bit of help with as well, please do be in touch about that as well. Next Sunday, we have our two services planned as the normal times, Lord willing. And the pastor, as he said this morning, will be starting a series on Job in the morning time. In the evening, we also have a testimony from Heather Steenson. She was always booked for this date. And so instead of letting her off the hook, we'll be recording her testimony during the week and sharing that. And so we do look forward to that as well. Thank you for sharing, Heather. I've got the thumbs up here as well that hopefully our problems have been rectified. And so let's engage again in worship as we sing together. Thanks, Gary.
Well, welcome everyone to our time of worship at the beginning of this service. We trust that you've had a blessed Easter weekend. We trust that the ministry of God's word and the fellowship of God's people, even though over the airwaves... What's wrong? Tell me. Hello everyone and welcome to our evening service. We trust for love. Something that the Lord has done for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Little song we're going to do is one that we know quite well. Wonderful, merciful Savior. These words and these songs all encompass everything that has happened and everything that was accomplished 2,000 years ago on the cross. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Please do gather the children around the iPad or around the mobile phone or around the TV or whatever you're happening to watch them, and let's sing to God's praise, because this is the very heart of the Christian message this weekend. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we pray. Healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty Night Father, faithfully loving your own,
healing and grace are hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Sticking with the theme of what the Lord has done for us, and these songs have really, really blessed my heart in recent days, and I think the more you ponder these words and ponder Easter, the more we are grateful and thankful. And this song, as we come to the ministry of God's Word shortly through Andrew, let's reflect on the love that he had for us.
What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into the sea without bottom or shore, our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience we'd wait as we constantly roam. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. He stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more.
Give us a thankful heart as we remember the mercy that he had for us and he shows on us daily. God bless you as you go into the rest of this service.
Thanks to the pastor for that as well. I wonder if you've been framed or still paying out money for any bloopers, but no, we do apologize just for that tonight. Trust that the words and the heart of those three songs have been a blessing to your heart. I know they have been to mind just in these moments, because they sing about Christ. They sing about his mercy. They sing about his return. They sing about his kindness as well. And so it has been great to have many of our fellowship and those of outside our fellowship who have giftings, who want to use it to the Lord in song. And so this week, our very own Sophia Taylor took a bit of time out from her Easter holidays to record a couple of songs for us in ministry this evening. Sophia, thank you so much for these songs. We trust the Lord blesses you for it, as well as everyone listening. Thanks, Gary.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hands, crafted into your purpose. gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your Holy Spirit.
Take me, mold me.
Thank you again to Sophia. What a wonderful Savior. There is no one more deserving to be sung about, no one more deserving of praise than the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that ministry and song, Sophia. We're going to spend a time of prayer now as well. We'll cover some specifics. This is a time in your own home as well to continue to gather and not just to listen to myself praying, but to pray, to intercede yourself for some of the situations in your life, for people in your life. In this prayer as well, I'd like to make a focus on those of our fellowship who are in care homes. I'd love to have listed each of them by name, but we have at least 17. And so for those that you know in care homes, would you be praying for them in these days? I'm sure it's particularly difficult for them and for loved ones as well to know that separation from them. If you'd like to get in touch even with me as well to get the list of names of those who are in care homes, do that. Make a list, and this week you can be lifting them up by name in prayer as well. We also want to pray and lift up in prayer those of our fellowship who are serving on the front line in the sense in the NHS, in care homes. We do have many who are involved in serving in different hospitals and care homes, and we definitely want to lift them up in prayer, as well as those who work in shops that provide food and are still open and are aware just of the risks of continuing to do their jobs, but for the betterment and for the care of society. So we will bow together in prayer and lift these specifics along with some others up. Whatever's on your heart, lift that up before the Lord in prayer now as we pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a merciful God. Your kindness knows no limits. Your grace, Lord, is so boundless. It's like a flood that washes over us. We thank you, Father, that your love for your own is fierce. We cannot be separated, Father, from your love. We thank you and praise you, Father, for these truths. Father, we want to build our lives on the truth of your word. We want to build our life on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to intercede, Father, and bring supplications as well, Father, for days such as these. Father, you know exactly what tomorrow holds, what next week holds. We have no idea. And Father, just in times like this, when, Lord, just fear, and when just the death toll from this virus, when the impact, Father, is just reaching into almost every aspect of life, we look to you. We lift our eyes to the King of Heaven, to the throne of grace. Father, we pray for your hand of protection and encouragement upon those of our fellowship. And Father, those all who are believers who are serving in hospitals and in care homes, we pray, Father, Lord, that you'd bless them in their work. We pray, Father, that you'd use them to be a shining light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, as well with thanksgiving for all who are working in our care services and our health care, Father. We thank you, Lord, for what they're doing, for the price that they are paying, for the risks that they are taking. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for each one of them. And Father, we pray that you would meet each one at the point of their need, Lord. We think as well, Lord, of the difficulty of separation, and especially of those of our fellowship, Father, who are in care homes. We think of the 17, we think of their families. And Father God, we just ask, Lord, that for those perhaps even whose minds don't really let them comprehend and understand what the changes have been and why they've been, we pray, Lord, that just you would draw near to them in spirit, that they may know your peace, that they may know your presence. And Father, they may know your encouragement and the joy that comes from your presence. Father, we think too, Lord, of missionaries across the globe. We think, Father, of those missionaries sent out from our own fellowship here as well. And Father, as they seek to serve, and perhaps in countries as well where healthcare systems are vastly different than the one that we enjoy in our own land here. Father, we lift them up before you, as they would perhaps be fearful as well for families at home. We pray, Lord, that you would meet them at the point of their need and encourage them. Father, we lift up this week before you, and we acknowledge, Lord, and for many there perhaps isn't a lot of interaction with other people, but we ask, Father, for those who are your children, Lord, we ask your help to be ambassadors for you this week, to witness for you this week, to be your hands and feet, to bring love and compassion, to be praying, Father, like never before, for our land and for our loved ones. Father, we do pray as well, just according to your will, Lord, that a cure even for this virus would be forthcoming. It would be quick, Father. But we just claim your grace for each day that you give us life. Thankful, Father, that each day is a day that your promises are true. Father, we do pray as well that as a church fellowship here, Lord, we would continue in perseverance and with fervor, Lord, in set times of prayer as well. We would pray, Father, just even on Friday evenings and other times in the week, Father, that we set aside, Lord, in our own homes to pray at the same time, to lift, Father, our petitions before you. We ask that you would change us. Thank you, Father, that our prayers are heard and are perfected by our great high priest. And Father, even you know the cry of each of our hearts, even right now in this moment. You know what it is, Father, that we would be worried about and would be, Lord, just blessed to lay at your feet right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you for always hearing, for always receiving of us, and for always answering perfectly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do keep praying this week as well for all of the situations, specifically as well for the people in your life who perhaps no one else is praying for. Do please share prayer requests as well with one another, that as the body of Christ, as one people, that we would be united in prayer this week ahead also. The message that we're going to be looking at tonight is titled The Return of Christ. One of our main passages that we'll be reading is from Hebrews 9, if you want to start turning that up. But this title that we're looking at tonight, The Return of Christ, just as God had been leading my own heart in this, I guess there's a phrase that I wanted to start with. Separation is hard, isn't it? Separation is hard. Goodbyes and separation has been quite a big part, I guess, of my life, particularly when I was younger growing up in a missionary family. It meant a lot of goodbyes. It meant times of saying goodbye to grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and friends that had been made, to go over to Papua New Guinea for 4 years at a time. Of course, there was goodbyes as well when we came home. I do remember as well, though, the joy of reunions, of coming down what used to be the steps at the Belfast International and seeing a face or a couple of faces standing at the bottom of the steps that I hadn't seen in so very long, and the joy of that first hug, that embrace of being reunited. In those days, showing a little bit of age here, the best way of communication, or almost the only way of communication, was either a cassette tape would be sent across, which we could listen to and hear the voice of loved ones, or either a phone call that would be patched through a radio and stuff. Of course, in the separation that we're experiencing at the minute, it's lovely to be able to pick up the phone quite easily and quickly to speak to our loved ones. Perhaps if you're a little bit more advanced in your technology, you've been able to use video calls or other means as well to see the faces of your loved ones. And yet, It's not quite the same, is it? Goodbyes and separations, even outside of the pandemic at the moment, we experience these in different ways. Goodbyes in my family are still a thing, as my brother and his family would be serving in England with NTM. And so the separation in some aspect is part and parcel of life. Now, of course, there's a previous generation from the Second World War who knew something much more of separation, of saying goodbye to young men or women who were heading off to war, who you had no idea if they would return or not. Many of you perhaps have loved ones as well who do live in other countries or who live far enough away that you don't get to see them at all that often. Lacking face-to-face contact, it's not a nice thing. Separation, when we cannot be in the presence of those who we want to be in the presence of, even if at the moment you can go and wave through a window and see your grandparents or whatever like that, it's not the same. We're thankful to still have ways that we can stay in touch with loved ones at the moment. But I think so many of us at this time are experiencing just that it does not give the same fulfillment. It just falls short of the joy that we know of being with loved ones physically, face to face, to know their touch, to know that embrace, that hug. And so in these days, on a much more serious note, I really miss my barbers. It's been a little while. Of course, my supportive wife has offered to get a lend of some clippers from somewhere. And I do know somebody said, you know, that trust is the foundation of a good marriage. I don't know if they were talking about haircuts from their spouse in that phrase. Needless to say, I'm looking forward to my barbers being opened again and being able to go in. There are a range of things that we are looking forward to, a range of reunions. And the separation at the moment, in a serious note, has resulted in the loss of many of these shared experiences, be it at your granddaughter's birthday and not being able to be with her, not being able to give her a hug on her birthday. For some, it has looked like funeral services of loved ones that they have not been able to be there. For many as well who are related to those who have lost their lives through this virus, they have not been able to hold their hand of their loved one and their final hours and days. Separation. For some as well, it's meant the postponement of a wedding that had been planned and anticipated for so long. And yet, what many of us have come to realize and come to think about at this time also is a hopeful anticipation of the time when these specific separations will come to an end. To think of the joy of that first family reunion, of being able to hug that loved one who you haven't been allowed to have been close to for so many weeks now. To think as well of being able to show solidarity and support and to come alongside those who are grieving, to sit beside them. For many of our own fellowship too, the thought of the first church service, Lord willing that we would be allowed back into this building without restriction for distancing or anything like that, to be able to stand shoulder to shoulder and to sing praises together, to come together in worship. I know there's many who are so eagerly awaiting that day, as I do also. Don't you look forward to that? To the restoration of those moments where these types of separation are no more. Why do we feel that way about being reunited with loved ones? Have you ever wondered that? Why is it that is such a trait of humanity, that we miss loved ones when we're separated from them? I know, by the way, there are some folks who would very happily go live on a desert island. And although they say it, I kind of doubt just maybe how well they would survive and cope with that. But widely speaking, we do feel pain and a sense of loss when we are separated from loved ones. It's one of the hardest aspects as well of the death of a loved one. That separation, not being able to see them when we want, not being able to speak to them. The separation, the brokenness of a relationship that we have enjoyed. And so this Easter weekend, the messages that we've been focusing on of the death, of the resurrection, and now the return of Christ, they speak directly into this very, very human problem. In Friday's service, we focused on Tetelestai. We focused on that great phrase of triumph that Jesus declared from the cross. It is finished. How he had finished dealing with the wrath of God justly for the sin of a people who had rebelled against him. It was finished. This morning we heard as well of the joy, the greatness of the King of Kings conquering death, that even as the ground shook, even as the stone was rolled away and the soldiers fainted in fear, emerging from that tomb was the risen King. With a rubber stamp of approval from God the Father, vindicating, showing us evidence that the work of salvation was complete. It was finished. It was acceptable. The Lamb had been slain and raised to life. And as 40 days later, whenever Christ ascended to heaven, he did so with a promise. A promise that said he will return. He will return. The King is coming back. The promise made by the promise-keeping God will be fulfilled. When? I don't know. We don't know. God alone knows when Christ will return. And on that time that has been ordained and planned by God, the Bible tells us not when, but it does tell us about a great division that will happen in humanity at that time. On that day, a divide will come. And you'll have on one hand people who have been redeemed, who have been saved by the death and resurrection of Christ. A people who love him and are longing for his return. And sadly, on the other hand, there will be people, those who have refused Christ, who have refused salvation through him alone. We're going to look tonight at these two divisions within humanity and the effects of which are very loosely paralleled, perhaps, in some of the experiences that we are part of now in the midst of this pandemic. And so we're going to look at those who know the pain of separation. And secondly, we're going to look at those who know the joy of being reunited. And so we're going to open up God's Word and read our main reading for this message, which is from Hebrews chapter 9, reading from verse 22 to 28. And so Hebrews chapter 9, reading from verse 22, if you've managed to find that in your own scripture. Otherwise, you can listen along as I read. As well, just before I read, perhaps if you want to stand in your own homes, participate for the public reading of God's Word, if that helps just as well a change of position for you, you can do so as we follow along as we read God's Word. Hebrews chapter 9, reading from verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Amen. Finishing the reading there at the end of that chapter. And so, using this chapter and a few other portions of God's word, we're going to look at these two aspects, starting firstly, with those who know the pain of separation. Those who know the pain of separation. We've already spoken a little bit this evening about experiencing just a small taste of the pain of separation. Be it the sadness of having to stay distant from loved ones at the minute, or the much, much deeper pain of experiencing the loss, the death of a loved one. Separation is not an enjoyable experience. Of course, anyone who has lost a loved one will testify to that. And indeed, the closer you are with that person, the more you love that person, the more intense the pain of separation, the harder it is. The reason for that pain of that separation, it has to do with the core purpose that mankind was created for. You've heard it said many times before, but mankind was created for relationship with God, made for relationship. We were not made for separation. We were not designed for separation. The pain of separation, indeed, was only first experienced by Adam and Eve after they had sinned, after they had rebelled against the goodness of God, after they had followed the leading and the temptation of Satan, of the devil. They chose to disobey God. They chose to be disobedient to the one command that he had given them. And as a result, they were separated. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And physical death would become part of their experience. It would become part of the experience of each of us. Adam and Eve went on to know the pain of losing a son. They went on to experience the pain of losing a son at the hand of another son, as one brother murdered another. They experienced the pain of being separated at the death of a spouse. And yet, more deeply again, they knew the pain of separation from that relationship with God with which they once enjoyed in the garden. The consequences of sin is separation. Separation from God. And rightly so, because sin is a rebellion against the good King, the Holy God, the best ruler that there ever could be in any way. And that separation from God ultimately led to the curse of death. Separation of spirit from body. Separation of one loved one to another. when the resurrected King Jesus, when he returns to earth, each person who has not had their sin dealt with by Christ will not find this to be a joyous experience. In fact, they'll find that their sin and their decision to reject Christ will lead to an experience of separation that is infinitely more than any pain of separation experienced in this life. These are sobering words. So that you know they are not my words, but the words of Scripture, I'm going to read a few verses from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and reading from verse 5. This is God's word, 2 Thessalonians 1, reading from verse 5. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. It's a terrible and senseless thing to know and yet reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that Christ came in the greatest rescue mission of all of time. That he came willingly. That he came because of love. To offer a way out of our sin. To offer hope in the face of separation. It's a terrible thing to reject Christ, to reject the only way to heaven. Rejecting Christ's offer to deal with our sin means that we have to pay the wages of our sin, that we take the consequence for it. We read there that the consequence of rejecting Christ is to be sent away from his presence. To be sent away from the glory of his might. In this life, we find a tiny, tiny foretaste of what eternity will be like. It's a bit like seeing a reflection on a spoon. You're not looking at the real thing. You can kind of tell what you're looking at, but it's distorted. In some same measure, through the pain of separation in this life, of knowing that pain of separation, we see a glimpse, just a glimpse, of what eternal separation from the presence of God would be like. At the return of Christ, everyone who has rejected him will find how horrific being without him really is. You see, although this world is corrupted, although this world is a twisted version of what it was made to be, there are still so many blessings of God in it. There are still so many things in life that are because of his blessing that is still upon us. Enjoy in relationship with loved ones. enjoying the pleasure of being with them, finding deep meaning in family, the joy that we find in love, the happiness. These are some of the things that were part of God's blueprint for this world. And although not perfect, we can still experience a measure of the goodness of these blueprints. They are aspects of life that are rooted in the very character of God. They are connected still to who God is. The good things that we enjoy in this life, the most real, the most lasting, the most treasured, the best things of this world are connected to the reality of God. Being completely separated from God and His blessings means the utter absence of any of those blessings. Somebody who I once worked with had a frank and very honest conversation with me about heaven. They told me that none of their family would be in heaven. And they said, why would I want to go to heaven if my family aren't there? If my family are in hell, I would rather be with them there than be in heaven without them. It was said with thought. It was said with conviction. It was said out of a deep love for their family. The problem with it is, though, that the Bible does not ever portray hell as a place where there is that kind of enjoyment, any kind of enjoyment. No love. No joyful reunion. No solidarity with family. Instead, it's a place that is characterized by the infinite pain of separation. The enjoyment and joy of being with loved ones is a blessing from God, showing us that ultimately it's because we were made for a relationship with Him. Reject God today, and you can still know the love of your family here in this life. You can still know that enjoyment. But when Christ returns, all of that changes. And the terrible separation pains will be complete when the blessings of God are rejected for eternity. And so, captured in this current pain of separation is one of the most urgent of warnings to every single person who has not yet come to Christ in repentance of their sin, calling upon Him for salvation. It'd be pretty hard if I was to finish this now. And yet this is why churches rejoice. Because this Easter, as we especially celebrate the death of the Lord Jesus, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, it is a message of hope. It is a message that is so amazing to say, Christ offered Himself in your place so that you would not have to be separated from Him forever. He came to rescue. He came to save a people who could never save themselves. And that's why the second part of this talk is filled with joy. Because on the day when Christ returns, there will be people who are eagerly waiting. Because they are those who know the joy of being reunited. They are those who know the joy of being reunited. And as Hebrews 9 said, those who are eagerly waiting for Him. for every person watching now who has put their trust in Christ Jesus to save them, who has been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the bride of Christ forevermore, that hopeful expectation that you're having of that first hug with a loved one here when lockdown is up, that hopeful expectation and anticipation of joy when you gather together again with family and with church family here, that is a tiny, tiny glimmer of the joyful expectation we have for the return of Christ. The hope and the expectant joy that we have in this life, even for the best of this life, is like a drop in the ocean compared to the experience of being reunited with Christ, of what we will know at his return. That sense of fulfillment, that celebration, that heart-flowing overflow of joy, we experience a little bite, a little taste of that in this life. But at the marriage supper, at the marriage feast of the Lamb, we'll find the real thing. We'll find the real deal. It's described briefly in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 9. Revelation 19, 6 to 9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." The best reunion that we will ever have in this life will be like a drop in the ocean at the reunion when Christ returns. He is returning to fulfill his promise. He went to prepare a place for us and then will take us to be reunited with him there. At the thought of it, when I get there, when I am welcomed in the name of the resurrected King, when I see him face to face, words just don't seem to be able to carry the weight of that hope and expectation. They don't do justice for that hope that we have in that moment, in that reunion with him. Something of that reunion, I imagine, and with a very, very limited imagination, that I might feel or think something along these lines. I've come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the place I've been yearning for my whole life, even when I didn't really know it. And even if I have recollection of even the best moments of my life here on this earth, I'll realize that they were the best moments of my life because in some tiny way, they in some small manner resembled what life with Christ would be like. Even the best of this life, the best of our relationships, the best of our moments, they point us to what eternity with Christ will be like. The imperfect and as broken as they are experience of love and joy in this life, they'll be made whole. They'll be made complete. because we will be in the presence and in the place of the Holy One, of the resurrected King, of our Savior, of our Christ. Hebrews 9 and 23 and 24 that we read out, it points to that truth that there's aspects of this life mirror and reflect or are copies of the real deal. It refers specifically to the institution of the priesthood and the temple. And it says about how those are really just copies of the real thing in heaven. The real joy of heaven will be found in our relationship with the Lord. Am I excited about meeting Abraham or Daniel or Moses or David? That's going to be pretty wonderful. That's going to be quite something. Am I excited to think of seeing loved ones, family members who are there already? Yeah. And yet, that's not what heaven is really all about. It's not about reunion with family. It's about reunion with Christ. Those earthly relationships were just a foreshadow, just a taste, showing us the glimmer of what eternity with Christ will be like. And so heaven will not necessarily be a continuation of those relationships. Jesus, in speaking, it's recorded in Matthew 22 and Luke 20, he said that in the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. We'll be like the angels in that sense. And so as amazing as they can be, marriages and families in this life are to whet our appetite for what it will be like to be in the bride of Christ and in the family of God. We were made for more than even the best of this world that we experience now. The best experience with loved ones in this life is so wonderful because at times it's a small reflection of what it will be like to be reunited with Christ. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. How incredible to be in the number of those who will know the joy of being reunited. And as we close this message, this Easter weekend, we affirm these truths. Christ did die on the cross. Christ did rise from the grave on the third day. Christ did ascend to heaven, and Christ most definitely will return. At his return, will you be found as one who will know the pain of separation? Or one who knows the joy of reunion? There is still opportunity today. There is still opportunity right now. You can come to him now. You can come to the resurrected King. Jesus is alive. You can pray to him now in repentance of your sin, and you can be transformed from the kingdom of death to the kingdom of eternal life. Come to him because he is coming again. Maybe you once felt him drawing you and convicting you and you did nothing about it. And you think, well, I can't come now. Come. Come. If you hear God speaking to you even tonight, come. Listen to him now. In doing so, you will experience his incredible grace and mercy and know the joy of being brought into the bride of Christ, into the number of those who are eagerly awaiting the return of the Almighty and Eternal King. Many of you who are watching at this moment will count yourself as one who is eagerly waiting. And I do so look forward to worshiping with you again, Lord willing, here in this building. But, oh, we have a better meeting coming. We have a more joyful reunion, a better celebration, a better feast. A better reality is coming because the King is coming. And as we conclude our worship on this Easter Sunday of 2020, we'll close in prayer and we'll finish with a song that will encourage those who are redeemed. It will encourage your heart in joy and anticipation to that day. But do not let the challenge of the gospel of Jesus Christ pass from you today without getting right with him. Our closing hymn has been kindly provided again by the pastor. It is "When the Trumpet of the Lord Shall Sound." And so can I just thank you again for joining with us tonight. Can I encourage you just in your prayer life this week? Can I encourage you to seek to present yourself each day this week to be a servant of Christ, to speak for him, to be an ambassador for him to those in your family, in your streets, in your workplaces? And Lord willing, we'll see you again next Sunday. Thank you and God bless.
We're going to our last hymn. This song speaks of the coming of the Lord and challenges us all to be ready for that great return.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called of yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called of yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when the chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called of yonder, I'll be there.